The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3. The game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you today. Derek Mason with the day off. He'll be back with us on Friday as he is currently moving his son back to college. He actually is going to join us at some point today, I believe 12:30. He'll call in. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' 53-man roster. But it is – I'm not going to say it's set, but they have a 53-man roster right now. There's a lot of moves going on around the NFL. As cuts have been made. Teams are down to 53. Now you're going to see a lot of waiver claims, practice squad, all those things. Willie, how you doing?
I am doing well. Good to see you, Chase. And, yeah, I think we should be watching today throughout our show as the shuffling continues. Right? Yesterday, we were watching to see who was going to get cut initially. All of the rosters had to be in by basically an hour after our show. The Titans did theirs. There were a couple little wrinkles, curveballs. And now we'll see what happens around the league with all the available players hitting the market.
Yeah.
I would expect to see during the course of our show probably a few significant moves that and one or two of them might affect the Titans.
Yeah, and because I think yesterday some of the moves that they made surprised some people. Like, you know, they cut Logan Woodside. That didn't surprise anyone. We had kind of gotten to the point where we thought it was going to be Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. And that's what it was. But they carried five running backs. They ended up going with Henry Hilliard Haskins, which I had, Torrey Carter, the fullback. But Julius Chestnut makes the roster, at least right now. I would say that that's probably one of those moves that's going to come a little bit later. But at least for now, he is on the roster. Five wide receivers in Robert Woods, Westbrook Akina, Treylon Burks, Racy McMath, Kyle Phillips, but I believe they have put McMath on IR. I think I saw that he'll miss the first four games. Austin Hooper, Jeff Swaim, Chig Okonkwo, the three tight ends. And then offensive linemen, I think they only have seven, but Dylan Radins does make the roster, the initial roster. Ben Jones, Corey Levin, Aaron Brewer, Nate Davis, Jamarco Jones, Taylor Lewan, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Dylan Radins, Dennis Daly. I'm going to stop there. Do you believe, with Dennis Kelly getting cut, that Dennis Kelly is coming back to Nashville?
I'd look at it. I'd have to make sure that, just like with Michael Pruitt that we talked about yesterday, that what version of Dennis Kelly am I getting? I mean, I have to get some good info from my scouts who have been watching him, because Dennis Kelly 2-3 years ago was a pretty darn good player, a very useful player for a significant period of time. We know, just like Pruitt, he's lights out with the makeup. He's got the mentality that the Titans love. He's a great team guy. It's just a question of, can he still play? And sure. I don't know what the price would be. He's a veteran player. He might cost a little bit more.
I bet you could get him at the veteran minimum, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a factor. I don't know the answers to that. But I would certainly think, just the familiarity, you'd love to take a look at that. I would think he would have an interest if it came
sure.
down to it.
His
as
brother's
opposed
here
to
now.
Maybe some other teams. But, you know, they made the trade. They signed Jamarco Jones in the offseason. We don't know much about either one of those guys, Daly or Jamarco Jones. You have to sort of trust that those guys could be okay in terms of backups, and you go from there. So I love the idea of Dennis Kelly, but I don't know if there's room. We'll see.
Little surprise on the defensive line just with how many that they're currently holding on to.
We talked about it, how strong they played in the in the preseason games. I mean, we didn't see Jeffrey Simmons at all. We didn't see Denico Autry at all. Those are their two best ones.
Sure.
But they had very good defensive line play.
They did.
In the preseason games.
They basically kept all of them. I mean, it was Simmons, Autry, Tart, Naquan Jones. Those were the four that I think you kind of knew. Then DeMarcus Walker, Kevin Strong, and Deshaun Hand. Deshaun Hand had a very good camp, and I'm mad at myself that I didn't have him on my roster. Hmm. But
how many did you miss?
I missed a lot.
Who did the best? How did Rex Road do?
I don't know if he did much better.
Did we have like a medal system? Guess the 53.
I don't think Stillman did a 53.
He didn't?
No. I always liked it when Floyd did. Floyd would do a 53.
Yeah.
You know, you obviously paid attention to that more so than me or Rex Road or Stillman. Stillman's going to join us at 11:30. We'll get his thoughts on his overreaction. That should be fun. Linebackers, Bud Dupree, Landry, Zach Cunningham, David Long Jr., Rashad Weaver, Ola Adeni, Dylan Cole, Chance Campbell. So I had in that group, I had Gibbons and Joe Jones. Both of them did not make it, but I would think one or both of them are going to end up on the practice squad.
As long as they make it through the sea of teams that just made cuts. This is another factor that we saw is they have a number of guys that I think – I don't know if they have an agreement with the local condominium complex near the bubble over there, but – it just seems like
there's an agreement with a hotel.
There's a group of players that will not be on the 53. At some point in the season, the odds are they're going to get a phone call if they're living in Nashville and not on another team, even if they don't make the initial practice squad. I think it goes beyond that. You just want to have that in your Rolodex. Do people still have Rolodexes, by the way? We're talking about yesterday's
about
term,
that.
Like obsolete term, was on paper.
I have a computer.
We don't write things down paper as much, but like
I have a spreadsheet that is named the Rolodex.
Okay, a spreadsheet that's called the Rolodex.
Yeah.
I don't have a Rolodex. I don't know if I ever had a Rolodex, actually.
I never did.
But the point is, you've got players that are on speed dial. Is there still speed dial? Maybe just in your contacts.
Really.
In your contacts, right, that you can get a hold of that are on standby. And you'll build your practice squad, and then you go from there. And they were one of the first teams, I think, to take full advantage of the roster flexibility that did not exist when Floyd back in the days when Floyd was the GM. That made it really tough. When a guy was hurt, you had to put him on IR. If you put him on IR, he's done for the season. I mean, done. Can't bring him back. So they have a lot more flexibility in how to utilize a roster. It's too bad you can't start a little side league or something and play some developmental games. You really would love that. But, you know, the next thing to me is can they sneak Woodside back in here just to have a guy to fall back on?
Yeah, and I certainly believe they're going to try and do that. But DBs, Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley, Roger McCreary, Elijah Molden, Ugo Amadi, Trey Avery. Making the roster.
Yep, that
corner.
One surprised me.
Kevin Byard, Imani Hooker, Lonnie Johnson, Josh Kalu, AJ Moore. So no Chris Jackson, no Theo Jackson. A little surprised by both those.
Chris Jackson especially. The rookies, I think, as a whole, have had a really good first training camp. It's really encouraging, you know, from the volume standpoint, based on the last few years, how many times. We had a lot of questions about some of the rookies. Their batting average wasn't as high. So far, there's a lot of things to be excited about. So, you know, with Theo Jackson, if you can get him on the practice squad, I would think that's an obvious one, right? Just like Des Fitzpatrick last year, you know, a fairly high, you know, significant draft pick that didn't make the team, but they actually did get him back onto the practice squad. Chris Jackson really surprised me. I thought for sure – he's a good insurance policy. He's a serviceable guy. I don't know if they felt like he just wasn't as sharp in training camp. But
he got lit up a couple times.
That's what competition is all about. That's why you bring in extra guys like that, to see if you can hold on to your spot.
I feel like he's one, though, if he does make it to the practice squad, you'll see him again. Like he
would fit that Rolodex comment that I made. Yeah.
Yeah. Receivers surprised me a little bit that they only went with five, and then I think they're going to be doing some work at that position. I mean, I don't think that position group is done. And again, the report yesterday that they're going to put Racy McMath on IR, so he'll miss the first four games. So they now have four active receivers. They're either going to be bringing some guys they cut back, like a Fitzpatrick or a Hollister or Mason Kinsey, one of those guys, or I believe, Willie, they're going to go look elsewhere and see some other receivers that have been cut. I'm going to ask Derek about this, but I'll ask you first. I heard Robbie Stanley bringing up with Joe Rexroad this morning. I don't think I would do it, but with Josh Gordon being out there, would you take a flyer on him?
I don't think that's how they roll. I don't see Josh Gordon as a guy that they would go with there. I think they would more likely bring back one of the guys. It is interesting, the numbers. We talked about the tight ends, and we're going to get into this a little later in the show, the role definition. But only three tight ends, and now, if that's true with McMath, only four wide receivers, that's pretty thin. I mean, if you had to roll right now, which ought to tell you that this is not a finished product, you're going to go in with four wide receivers, three tight ends. That tells me you're going to play the fullback a lot. I don't know. That just seems a little thin. So I wonder what they have up their sleeve there.
Yeah, and I believe Marcus Johnson was released by San Francisco, so he could be. He could be another. That was me. He could be another.
I thought that was me. I assume it's me when something goes off like
no,
that.
No, yeah, that's my bad. He could be another one that could potentially. I mean, because he already knows the offense. I just have a feeling that tight end and receiver, there's going to be somebody that was not in training camp that I think ends up being on the roster.
Do we know what happened to McMath?
I don't.
I mean, don't. I'd love to know.
Yeah, I have not seen anything on what happened there. But, you know, what else is interesting, and we'll talk about this coming up next, is some of the cuts around the league. A lot of draft picks from the last couple of drafts, the COVID drafts, already getting cut, which I find to be interesting, including, you know, right here in Nashville, that there's only one member of the 2020 draft remaining on this roster right now. We'll discuss that and the other moves that could be. We're up and running. You can weigh in on our phone line or our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. This September 10th and 11th, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, two stages, one weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. Buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. That's blendedfestival.com. Welcome back in. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, is talking about roster cuts around the NFL as the Titans down to 53. But again, this roster, not complete by any means. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are going to address the media later this afternoon in the 3 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that as a part of Stillman & Company. So we'll see if more moves have been made before then, if they can provide more answers of kind of what they're thinking. But as I look at this roster right now, I mean, again, offensive line, they only have seven offensive linemen. I feel like they got to address that. They're going to have to add at least one, maybe two more. Receiver, if McMath is for sure going on IR, only four active wide receivers. They're going to have to address that. Tight end, as you have pointed out several times, Willie, they love the two tight end sets, probably going to need to add a fourth. They're very, very heavy at linebacker and defensive back right now, so they could take from that. They also have the extra running back. So they definitely have some pieces they can move around to complete this roster.
You know, this would be a good question for Teron, because I don't know in detail the different roles on the special teams, but I believe Racy McMath has a pretty unique role on the coverage, right? Isn't he the gunner? Isn't he their best gunner? So I don't know if that's something that Chestnut figures into. Like, who if McMath is out for at least four games, if he's going to go on IR, I think it's Terry McCormick that has that, with a hip injury, that's something you got to have that. And so how does that change your you know, 53rd. It's like they say every year, it's the right 53.
Right.
It's not always the best 53. So it is an art form behind the scenes. You know, from a macro perspective, though, the top 30 guys, the top 30 to 35 guys are going to really sink or swim this roster. I am taking for granted. I'm taking as a given that they will do a good job figuring out the role players from, you know, spots 40 through 53 on the roster and then picking the right 45 on game day. I think they're really good at that. I'm a little bit more concerned with, you know, the big questions about the top guys. Can those guys carry them to another regular season where they give themselves a shot to do well in the postseason in a very, very deep AFC? In this era, while they're good, the AFC is good. I would love to have some of the years that they've had the last couple years in the NFC, where there's not nearly as many powerful teams. This is a tough era in the AFC. Last year, for example, we thought the AFC was incredibly deep, and that was with the Bengals being a team that was still, hey, they got the second, right? It's the Bengals. You know, maybe they'll be a little bit better. That ended up being the Super Bowl representative from the AFC. So you look at the AFC, how many bad teams are there that you just write off right now and say they're bad? You know, two or three? Not very many.
Yeah, probably. And by the way, I'd like to thank Will in Nashville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I can't count. There are nine offensive
linemen. Yeah, I was going to correct you on that. I thought you might catch that by yourself. But
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You didn't count the centers.
Thank you, Wills.
Something?
I don't know what I did. I just math.
Yeah. So I think they kept the amount of offensive linemen that you thought they were going to keep, and that's nine. So I don't know. I think they could be set there.
But it could be,
look,
but
I don't get into as much at this point. You know, who ends up being 50, 51, 52, 53? It's significant, but in the big picture, how significant is it really?
Would you take Radens or Dennis Kelly? If you're given the choice between the two, what would you do?
Well, remember, Radens is on a rookie contract, so that is probably
Dennis Kelly cheaper. He's not gonna cost you a lot of money.
Well, let's take a look at that.
I mean, he's,
because don't you? It's not as simple as you just. Let's double check and see what the price tag of Kelly would be. In a vacuum, it's not even close, right? If I think that Kelly can still play, then certainly his versatility, his ability to play pretty much every position.
How many years has he played? I mean, he's
at least 7, 8.
Yeah, he's nine. He's going to cost you a little over $1 million. But that's still.
But what's his existing contract?
Well, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. He got cut.
He got cut, but aren't there, you know, with some certain players who have guaranteed money and stuff like that?
If you claim him on waivers, then yeah. But I think that once he clears waivers, then it's, you know, just whatever.
Yeah. Assuming he is very affordable, then I think you'd have to be crazy not to take Kelly. So I guess Corey Levin would be your backup center at this point. I guess you could move Brewer. Remember the Brad Hopkins adage that I have taken to heart for the last couple of years. If a guy gets hurt, you really don't want to move several guys. In other words, we know Aaron Brewer can play center. He used to be the backup center and the backup guard. But now that he's the starting guard, if the center gets hurt, do you want to have a new guard and a new center? I don't think so. That's not Brad. Remember, we talked about this with Sembrio switching sides. Remember when Taylor Lewan had the issues? Remember they had three consecutive guys go down? They had musical chairs. And we kept thinking, should you move Dennis Kelly over to play left tackle? And Brad Hopkins says, no, keep everybody intact as much as you can. Just swap out the guy that's missing. And so you're only making one change as opposed to two, or a domino effect where you have three. So I don't think Dennis Kelly's ever played center, but we know he can play tackle and guard.
Yeah. I think
so. It's an obvious if he's there that he, unless he can't play anymore. I mean, what, he's 32. I wouldn't think he's totally over the hill. That's, you know, there are plenty of offensive linemen that play to 35, 36.
The only reason that I keep going back to it is because John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have shown that they're not afraid to bring guys back. I mean, sure. Will Compton's had a couple of stints here. Darren Bates had a couple of stints here. Corey Levin's had a couple of stints here. You know, I think Dennis Kelly could be an option. Marcus Johnson could be an option. They like bringing guys that fit that team-first mold that they want to build their team around, and also they can come in and play right away. Now, you know, one thing that I was reading, Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, you know, went on with George on his thing on Main Street Media and did, you know, speculate. He said, quote, "From what I believe, Dennis Kelly was not real happy about how the way things happened in 2020 when he got cut. Has enough time passed? The fact that his brother Tim is a coach here, does that factor in? Or have the Titans simply just said, look, we got Dennis Daly. We've made that acquisition. We're moving on. We're not going to worry about it anymore." Could definitely be the case. Terry also tweeted hearing that a Dennis Kelly Titans reunion is not a guarantee, but maybe not out of the question either. So it sounds like it's being batted around, but who knows?
You know, I don't know what his market is right now. He's played 11 years in the league, Dennis Kelly. Mm. He's 32. As I look at SpotTrack, I don't think there's dead money, extra cash based on that. So I think he would be fairly inexpensive. How many teams are calling? All of this is – I'm sure he wasn't happy on how it ended with the Titans. But if it's that or you don't play, I think you get over that pretty quick if there's an opportunity, if you want to continue to play. He also could be at the stage of his career where he's ready to just say, you know what, I'm ready to move on with my life. But if he wants to play, I would, like I said before, I would not be surprised at all if they went down that road to take a look at it. If you believe that the offensive line is one of the top concerns on the team, I also don't think Dennis Kelly would be the only guy that they're looking at. I think they're probably looking at a lot of guys. If, you know, how can I make my team better? What are my insurance policies for a rookie right tackle, for a first-year starter at left guard? What if my guys went down? These are all major questions because they've got to have good, solid offensive line play to be a good team.
They do. And Wes in Clarksville says the O-line is the only thing I'd be focusing on that will make or break us.
Yeah, that's a good take by Wes.
And I'll say receiver, too. I'm concerned about receiver because, you know, yes, they could bring some of these guys back on, but the fact that you don't have McMath that was showing signs of being your deep threat, now he – and I'm not saying he was going to make or break anything, but, you know, I like the camp that he had.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when it happened. Apparently it was a hip injury. He was playing pretty deep into the game against the Cardinals. I don't know if it happened on the last drive or something like that. But
I don't know.
I was envisioning him as the gunner, and then you spot him if you want to stretch the defense.
I just think right now there's even more pressure on Treylon Burks, which I think is something they were trying to avoid. That's why a guy
Why do you think there's more? I think it's the same as it's been since the day he was drafted.
A numbers game. I mean, like, you know, you could have designed, and you still could, design plays for somebody else. Now maybe you have to design more plays for him. That's why I think somebody like a Marcus Johnson would be interesting because he knows the offense, and I thought he was, you know, decent for them. He just couldn't stay healthy. That's the issue. And so it's like, can you get a month out of Marcus Johnson or somebody, some veteran that can help you?
Marcus Johnson was sort of the talk of the camp last year. He had a couple of moments, got hurt a bunch. I think that they've turned the page on that. It would be my guess. I think you're more likely to see a Fitzpatrick or a Kinsey or some of the guys that have been there, a Hollister. They've been there the whole camp. They've been working with Tannehill. I think the bird in hand is better there. Unless you're telling me it's a guy that's really gotten something done in the league or is a high ceiling talent. So it's like, what are you looking for? I think the first four guys are pretty set.
Yeah.
As we've watched it materialize, Phillips in the slot, Akine is a guy that can play anywhere, but it looks like he's going to start outside. We know about Woods, and Burks will be sort of the wild card that it's going to be creative how they use him, but they know they're going to use him. Outside of that, I think you're getting into, at least from the start, who blends in, who plays a role in special teams and things like that. I don't think you're really looking at your scheme at this point.
Coming up next, will two draft classes in particular come back to haunt the Titans? We'll discuss that coming up next. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in. Chase Willie and D-Mace live at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you. Derek is taking his son back to college, but he's going to join us a little later in the show at 12:30. We'll also talk to Jonathan Hutton at noon. Wes Rucker from 24/7 will join us to talk the Vols at 1 o'clock as well, plus trivia question for today. So I wanted to bring this up, Willie, as the Titans went through their cuts.
They're making a cup run. They're making a run for a cup.
Whatever. There is now one member of the 2020 draft left on this team, and that's the second-round pick in Christian Fulton. Now, Chris Jackson could certainly factor in, could be a, you know, he was a seventh-round pick. He could still, you know, be back at some point. But Isaiah Wilson, we know that story. Darrington Evans, we know that story.
Oh.
Laurel Murchison got cut yesterday. Cole McDonald, we know that story. And then Chris Jackson.
Cole McDonald.
He's on his farm. And then the 2021 draft, I'm going to put in this conversation, because basically there's a ton of unknowns. Caleb Farley, don't know. Radens.
I'm optimistic.
About Farley? Yeah. I think I am too.
I'm really looking forward to Monday, because Monday I'm declaring that I am not talking about Dylan Radens anymore. Let's just not.
Okay.
I am just putting a kibosh on that.
Okay.
If you all want to talk about him, you can't. I'm out of time with him.
That's fine.
We've talked about him so much. But yes, he's on the list of questionable.
Questionable, leaning towards bust.
Doubtful.
Monty Rice showed flashes. He's on PUP.
Yeah, I mean, still, he's serviceable. He'll be serviceable.
Still holding out hope. Elijah Molden, still kind of feel pretty good about
him.
Yeah,
I think he's a good pick.
All right.
Good pick. Good player.
Des Fitzpatrick, not on the team.
Doubtful.
Rashad Weaver, have a lot of hope there.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Racy McMath, I have hope.
Optimistic.
Yep. Brady Breeze, not on the team.
That's not a bad draft.
Yeah. It's incomplete. I'm not ready to say it's good or bad.
It's second year. They're second year guys. I think
2020, though.
Yes. I would put those two drafts in a completely different category. 2020, and I think the first thing I think about is what was different about 2020. That was a very, very different draft to prepare for. And I would say you're probably going to find some teams that had a great 2020 draft, but it's sort of a random thing. I think as we go forward to in time, I'm curious about the Predators draft in 2020, which was even more random because you had guys that weren't even playing, and you are scouting the entire world and trying to figure out 18-year-olds' futures who you don't really have as good of an understanding. It's hard enough when you do have as good understanding when they're 18. So to me, the 2020 draft for hockey in 5 or 10 years will be something to look back on and say, how in the heck did they even try to draft players at that point and have any idea what was going to happen? I think to a lesser degree, it's true in the NFL draft. So, like, for example, with the Isaiah Wilson, we've often asked the question, could you have possibly seen what was coming? Like, I think at the end of the day, 2020 or not, there's no way any of us thought it would be that crazy, that wacko. But maybe under different circumstances where you could have had different contacts, more extensive research, the regular routine that you go through, maybe they wouldn't have picked him first. Maybe they would have let him slip a little longer before they decided where to pick him.
But I
just think I'm not going to give him a pass on the 2020 draft, but I do understand that it was different.
It was different, but I mean they're paying for missing on Isaiah Wilson. They don't have a right tackle. I mean, they may in Petit Frere, he may develop into it, but they're going into the season in a very important season with a huge question mark at right tackle. And if they had hit on that, they wouldn't have that, but they didn't.
Okay, we could talk about that the whole show because they did have a right tackle in Jack Conklin, and that's a decision that I'd love to go back. And if you could have a do-over, talk about how you would have kept him. Because he was their first-round pick. He was a pillar.
He was John Robinson's first round pick.
And I think they came to the determination that they just didn't want to spend premium money at that position. And they would find a way to get by. And they have gotten by since then, but it's been a revolving door. But I'm not as worried about Petit Frere for the same reason I've been saying all camp. He's replacing David Quesenberry. David Quesenberry is a replacement-level player who worked his way into being an overachieving starter. But if you take a look, they did not get great play out of Quesenberry last year. I almost called him Dan Quesenberry. David Quesenberry. He's not a great player. So the bar is low. Petit Frere, give him a chance. Is there a risk? And this is, I know Jared has been really harping on this. But what was the alternative? Unless you want to go back in time and say, you know, make Isaiah Wilson into a different guy or redo the whole thing with Conklin and have him be the guy and deal with the other repercussions of that. I'm optimistic about it. I'm glad that Petit Frere won the job. I think he looks athletic. I think he's going to have growing pains. I think they're going to have to help him out. What would you have said about Nate Davis on opening day his rookie year? He wasn't even practicing.
No, he wasn't good.
He wasn't even on the radar.
Floyd had the famous line to Jared, "You don't know Nate Davis from a jar of Vicks."
100%. We had our own ways of saying that on our show. Like, where is he? We thought we had him on the missing persons. Like, we never heard about him because they don't talk about injuries and training camp. He wasn't out there. And, of course, an offensive lineman, you know, it's not like you watch him running pass patterns on the second field or the third field. He was a complete unknown. He's turned into a pretty good player. So I'm much more optimistic that Petit Frere can be better than Quesenberry. Better than Quesenberry, which is an upgrade from last year. Am I wrong? He's way more athletic.
I mean, there's more of an upside.
Higher ceiling.
Sure, because he's younger.
There's only one way he's going to get the experience, and that's to get him in there.
Right.
He seems to have the makeup, the cerebral qualities. I hear a lot of good things about that, how well he's picking up some of the nuances. So why is that any more of a question than it was last year when Quesenberry was playing? Quesenberry got worked a lot. Take a look at his grades last year. They were not good. He was the weak link. That's why they were looking for a new guy there.
No, I know.
Everybody's going to whiff on picks. The 2020 draft is a really interesting study because of COVID. And the complete miss on Wilson, the plan of let's let Conklin go and then we'll let Dennis Kelly go and we're going to draft the guy in Wilson. You know, that's one thing. You know, but it doesn't always work out. You're going to have to, you know, go with the flow a little bit here. But Quesenberry was a great filler, a guy that came out of nowhere that didn't have to spend any money for, that got the job done. But it was a replacement-level performance that they got. Petit Frere, I think, has a much brighter future. And they're going to live with the ups and downs of him his rookie year. But what was your alternative? You can just sit there and be mad that Raiden's isn't that good? Okay, that happens. It happens a lot.
I found it, and Nick has learned that I can take over a screen. Oh, you have it turned down. Turn the thing up.
What are you talking about?
The hotkey thing.
Well, I know that you can get in here, but
yeah, turn the hotkey up. There you go. Thank you.
At the time, that was 100% true.
It was.
But look at where Nate Davis is now.
It was. All right. But the 2020 draft still concerns me because they didn't fill right tackle. I think Christian Fulton's a really good player. The running back, you've upgraded in Hassan Haskins. But you also make a valid point with the COVID stuff that, hey, maybe it was just that and they missed. So that could be it.
You're going to miss. I don't know what people's expectation level is. Sometimes I feel like there are people out there that believe that you should hit on every first, second, third round pick. You know what I mean? Like, people go nuts if the second round. Look at Raidens. And the Isaiah, well, if you miss on a first or second rounder, people freak out. It happens every year to a lot of teams. It doesn't just happen to the Titans. The key is, do you get a good percentage of guys? And it's a low percentage in 2020. I grant you that. There are going to be some drafts, and hopefully this year's draft maybe picks up the slack a little bit. How do you compensate for when you don't hit on draft picks? But I think if you looked at it in comparison to the league, that is something that Floyd taught me very well. Everybody whiffs on the picks. Everybody has got first and second round picks that do not hit. So don't panic. Don't panic.
No panic.
It's okay.
Coming up next, we'll look
at some... Petit Frere's going to be all right.
He's saying it.
I'm going with it.
He's saying it.
I like him.
Coming up next, we'll look at some other NFL storylines around the league, including what's happening in San Francisco. That's all coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll talk to Jared Stillman at 11:30, get his thoughts on the Titans roster. Chase McCabe and Willie Donick with you. D-Mace will join us at 12:30, get his thoughts on everything. But looking around the league, you know, we haven't spent too much time on this. We asked Tim Hasselbeck about it as well, but Trey Lance is going to be the starter in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo restructures his contract, basically a one-year deal for him to be the backup. Took a huge pay cut for him to be the backup. So that's big in San Francisco right now. You know, what does that mean moving forward? And still a pretty good division in the NFC West.
I think it's a major question. I have been fascinated because, you know, we're just coming up for air here, right? We've been so in tune with every move the Titans make here for the last month. Every practice, every roster cut, tied up in roster spots 45 through 53, which in the big picture are significant, but really not the meat of what your season's going to be all about. We're just now going to delve into, but what's been going on? Here's the question. If we were doing that with the 49ers, what would you be thinking every day as you watch Garoppolo? He's coming off of all summer long, they've been trying to figure out what to do with him. He's been injured. He had to have surgery. This guy has gotten you to a Super Bowl. He has gotten you to the NFC Championship game a second time. The numbers don't blow you up. He is the classic third-tier quarterback, right? He's got a lot of things he does well. He's not a star. Could you do better? Yeah. Could you do a lot worse? Heck yeah. Here comes Trey Lance. They're turning the reins over to him. They have made that clear. So what the heck has Jimmy Garoppolo been doing? He's been on another field. He's been doing his physical therapy. Has he even been in on the meetings? Has he mentally been there? Or has he been thinking all along, where am I going next?
Yeah.
Am I getting traded today? But now you do this and you shuffle the deck so that basically it's a one-year deal and then I can just go free and there's no maybe limitations of where I could find a new home. Whereas now he's trapped. The 49ers control his destiny. So that's the one thing, is what is Garoppolo's mentality day in and day out now going forward with the team? It's not his team anymore. Then you've got Trey Lance. Is he a surefire? Do we think he's going to be? You mentioned Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Is that how it's going to roll? People have expectations of the 49ers being a Super Bowl contender.
I like the coach.
That is probably the biggest benefit of the doubt that anybody gets offensively. Kyle Shanahan basically has this magical thing. We talked about narrative of the national media. The narrative of the national media is this. You can win with anybody. Kyle Shanahan is a scheme guy that, look, the Titans, so many other teams, the Titans I think are one of them, pick up things. It's like the old West Coast offense. You know, there's trends in the league. So many people are trending off of what Kyle Shanahan is doing. He's so good at it. They have Debo Samuel. They've got George Kittle. They've got a lot to like. They've got powerful players on defense. But that being said, how does Trey Lance be himself? Can he be his best with Jimmy Garoppolo just sitting there? What is Jimmy Garoppolo's attitude day in and day out? I think it's really something to watch. So, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think that in the two instances where I think this is the most prominent, where you had Alex Smith give way to Patrick Mahomes, you have Jimmy Garoppolo give way to Trey Lance. I think Alex Smith is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Jury's out on Trey Lance, what he's going to be. But the two things that stand out to me are the coaches. You know, I think Andy Reid, Hall of Fame coach, won a Super Bowl. They made the move. It worked. Ends up winning a Super Bowl. I think Kyle Shanahan is pretty damn good. Could, before it's all said and done, win a Super Bowl. So I get why they're doing it. You know, John Lynch played in this league a long time. Shanahan's been around for a long time with his dad. You know how this league works. It makes sense if you're going to trade up and you're going to spend that kind of draft capital on drafting Trey Lance, then go ahead and see what you got. So I think if there's any chance of it working, it's because they got the right coach. And I think that Shanahan is smart enough to put Lance in a position to succeed and not make it too difficult for him right away.
Another,
and he knows he has an insurance policy behind him now.
I think because of the narrative of how much confidence people in general who cover the league have in Shanahan. You got a lot of hype on Trey Lance. We've talked about this in our daily fantasy questions of the day. We've hit on Trey Lance. He's a very trendy pick from a fantasy standpoint because people are excited about that scheme, how you can put up numbers, he can run the ball. So I'm really curious, is that a big upgrade? Do the 49ers get an upgrade this year with Trey Lance in the lineup? I'm not sure that I'm ready to say yes. I'm curious. The other thing is, if he struggles for some reason, if Lance struggles, how much leeway does he have before number – it always starts with the fans. The fans say, hey, look, Garoppolo's won a lot of games. Let's get Garoppolo in there. You see what could
sure.
be brewing, right?
But
if they struggle some, it's a natural thing. It happens.
It is
in any circumstance, let alone when you have a guy that was the starter and won a lot of games.
But here's also the difference: the league dictated this a little bit because when Andy Reid made the change, they traded Alex Smith. They sent Alex Smith to Washington. San Francisco was unable to do that. So you're right. So that definitely could be a factor here that Jimmy G is still on the roster, whereas Alex Smith was not. So there could be, you know, but Trey Lance he's going to have to not look over his shoulder and worry about Jimmy G. And Shanahan is going to have to be the one to help fix that.
This is another thing I haven't looked closely enough at is the reworking of Garoppolo's contract. Does that make it more tradable if –
Yeah,
what
like
the 49ers,
hurt,
I'm sure ideally the 49ers would love for somebody to go down, a desperate team calls them and says, we got to trade for Jimmy G. What do we need to give you? In other words, they have him in a serious leverage position that to this point hasn't materialized. We've been talking to Tim Hasselbeck about him all summer, right? And Hasselbeck's answer has been the musical chairs have stopped. Especially with Mayfield. Mayfield had to work real hard to get a job. Carolina had to move a bunch of stuff around to get him in there. And when that happened, Jimmy G was still hurt, and there was just no logical place, especially with Seattle basically electing to say, we're out of the mix this year. We're going youth. We're going to set the table for next year. If that means, you know, we win three or four games, then that's fine. We'll pick high, and there's a lot of quarterbacks coming up. We'd rather do that than go with Jimmy G. When that happened, there was really nowhere for him to go. But that could change in week one if a quarterback goes down for the season. That's another thing that could happen here.
615-737-1025, talking about NFL. Also, got some other storylines that we'll hit coming up next. Again, Jared Stillman going to join us at the bottom of the hour, get his thoughts on the Titans roster as you listen to Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.